Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Earlier in the service, we prayed, O God, whose never-failing providence orders all things both in heaven and on earth, we humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things that are profitable for us. What exactly were we praying for here? What are those hurtful things that we asked God to put away from us, and what are those profitable things we asked God to give to us? What do you pray for? Do you pray primarily for the things pertaining to this body and life? There are certainly many hurtful things that afflict us in these ways: injuries, illnesses, lost jobs, unexpected expenses, heartbreak, betrayal, many more things besides. On the contrary, there's many earthly things that would be very profitable for us to receive here and now. Good health, safety and security, financial stability, material prosperity and comfort, good friends, good family, faithful neighbors, and the like. Are these the hurtful and profitable things we should pray about? Or do you rather pray chiefly for the things of the soul, for heavenly things? Again, no doubt there's many spiritual things that would harm you: the devil, the world, sin, flesh, despair. And against such things, we pray for profitable things like forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, steadfastness in the faith, good courage, hope in God, love for the neighbor, and more. Maybe this is what our prayer should be about. The truth is, as we learned throughout our lessons, but especially in our Old Testament lesson today, we have been created body and soul. And therefore, we have needs of body and soul. So we should pray for needs of body and soul, trusting that God will grant us good gifts of body and soul, putting away from us all hurtful things and giving us all profitable things for body and soul. Too often, however, we don't pray for all of these things as we ought. Sometimes when we are comfortable, sometimes when we enjoy peace and security in this earthly life, we then focus only on our spiritual needs, praying for those things that cannot be seen or felt. We're tempted then to assume that we can handle all of this earthly stuff, all the mundane, day-to-day things of this body and life. But that way of thinking implies that we really don't need God's help every day. We've got it covered. Or it means that God doesn't really care about every earthly concern we have. He doesn't have time or the attention span for that. On the contrary, sometimes when we are facing many fears or sorrows, pains or losses, we focus only on our bodily needs in prayer. We pray only for those things that we can see and feel. But then we are tempted to forget about those things that threaten our souls, and to forget the things that profit our souls eternally. That way of thinking means that if we can't feel it in our body or in our stomach, then it really doesn't matter. But unseen, eternal, spiritual things aren't nearly as important as what's facing us here and now. They don't really require our time and attention. And so we see the sad fact is that even though we have been created body and soul, we often fail to regard our needs of body and soul properly. At times, we neglect to bring our prayers to God for this body and life, thinking that He really only cares about the spiritual needs. We can handle the earthly stuff. But that leaves us in worry, anxiety, fretting over things hurtful and profitable that we face on this earth each day. Or, at other times, perhaps far more often, we neglect to bring our prayers for the soul and for spiritual matters to God, thinking that we only need bodily goods. But that leaves us with a dull and a weak faith. A dull and weak faith that grows slower and slower to pray altogether. Yes, and sinners, we struggle rightly to regard our body and our soul. But again, today in our lessons, we're reminded that God has no such trouble. He has no difficulty seeing our spiritual needs and thus granting us those things that are most needful. And he has no problem identifying our bodily needs and then providing those things that we need in this body and life. God knows what we need, cares about what we need, and he provides our needs, all of our needs, needs of body and soul. For he is the creator of our bodies and our souls, just as we learn in the small catechism. I believe that God has made me, he has given me my body and soul. And so we heard this morning, in the beginning when God created man, he formed him from dust from the ground, the physical, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the spiritual. But you recall, in the catechism, we not only confess that God made me and given me my body and soul, he also still takes care of them, plural, body and soul. Again, his never-failing providence orders all things in heaven and on earth. All means all. And so he will rightly and wonderfully put away from us all hurtful things and give us all those things that are profitable for us. He will feed our souls with the bread of heaven that never perishes, while at the same time graciously giving us daily bread. This is exactly what we find in our gospel lesson, in which Jesus cared for 4,000 people in the wilderness. There, as Mark records, for 3 straight days, Jesus gave the people that which they needed the most, the Word of God, without money, without price. He fed them continually with the bread of life, the bread of heaven, which does not mold or decay, which satisfies and sustains and strengthens for eternity. And yet, as we also learn in Matthew's account of this event, he also healed the bodily afflictions of all those who were brought to him, the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, many others. The Creator stood in the midst of his creation, and he cared for his beloved creatures in every way, spiritually and physically. And then, as we heard, when Jesus saw that the crowds had nothing to eat, he had compassion for them. He knew they were hungry. He knew they would faint on the way back to their homes if they were not given sustenance. And so, having put away those hurtful things from their bodies, those illnesses and injuries, and having given them eternal food to profit their souls, Jesus then again provided the bread they needed to profit their bodies, to fill their empty stomachs. He took 7 loaves of bread, gave thanks for them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to hand out to the people in order that their bodily need might be met. And not just met in part, but in abundance. He had abundantly satisfied their spiritual needs over the course of the previous 3 days. There, with bread miraculously multiplied, he satisfied their bodily needs too. By this, Jesus demonstrates his divine compassion, knowing exactly what this crowd needed spiritually and physically, and perfectly providing for both. Here then we see how Jesus Christ, true God and true man, cares for his creation, the two natures in him working together for our good. Jesus is true God, of infinite wisdom, power, and authority. And he is true man, having a human body and soul himself. And so, as true God and true man, the incarnate Son of God, Jesus exercises his divine power in and through his humanity, and so meets all of our needs. His human hands, which broke those 7 loaves of bread on the mountain, were divine, all-powerful hands, the hands of God. And therefore, in his human hands, those seven loaves were miraculously multiplied to be more than enough to feed the 4,000 people in the wilderness. Therefore, with his body, Christ, the Son of God, provided for the needs of the body, just as he had provided to the utmost the needs of the soul through the preaching of the Word of God. And Jesus still does this very same thing for you today. For if Christ had compassion then on those 4,000, how could he feel any differently toward you now? He is God. He does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, if he had compassion on the people and helped them in their bodily and spiritual needs, even before they could ask for his aid, Christ our Lord certainly hears and answers your prayers today. He puts away from you all hurtful things and gives you all profitable things for your body and life, here and now in time on earth. And all the more, he continues to provide for the utmost needs of your soul. In the fullness of time, he, the Son of God, Jesus, went to the cross to suffer in his body for you as your perfect substitute, offering that sacrifice that he and he alone was worthy to offer, the sacrifice for the sins of the world. In all his holiness and perfection, he gave himself to death on the cross for you. And by the offering of his body once and for all, Christ, true man for true men, and yet at the same time, the only begotten Son of God, made perfect atonement for all your sins and for the sins of all people. He paid the deathly wages of sin for mankind. And with those awful wages now paid, all that remains is the free gift of God for you, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A free gift that he still graciously bestows upon you this very day in the means of grace, his word and sacrament, in order that all those things that would threaten to hurt your soul, sin, death, the devil, would all be put away from you, and those things profitable for your salvation, forgiveness, grace, and faith, would be given to you. Having suffered and died for you on the cross, life was restored to Jesus Christ on the third day. Jesus is really and truly bodily alive, risen in his flesh and blood from the grave, flesh and blood that he still has to this day and even forevermore. When he ascended into heaven, he didn't leave his body behind, but he, in his body, ascended to heaven. For this reason, the author of Hebrews writes, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." That means Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, as we confessed, looks on you with compassion. He knows your needs. He cares about your needs, all your needs, physical and spiritual. For he still has the same flesh and blood, body and soul, that you do. Again, just like in the wilderness long ago, so today, Christ's compassion moves him to help you. He gives you food for your bodies, daily bread, as he makes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the earth, causing it to bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He also feeds you food for your soul, the bread of heaven, through the hearing of the word by which he teaches, comforts, strengthens, and enlightens you, and the receiving of the sacrament, his very body and blood under the bread and wine given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. By these, he strengthens you in body and soul into life everlasting. And for this reason, the author of Hebrews continues after that passage I read, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." In other words, let us pray. Let us pray for the needs of the body. Let us pray for the needs of the soul. Let us pray that all hurtful things would be put away from us. Let us pray that all profitable things would be given to us. And let us pray with all boldness and confidence, just like dear children ask their dear Father, trusting that God, who has commanded us to pray in this way, will also answer those prayers, just as he promises, in the way he knows to be best. This is, of course, what Jesus has given us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. He commands us to pray for spiritual things, like his holy name, and the kingdom, and the will of God, like forgiveness of our trespasses, like defense against temptation and deliverance from the evils of the soul. And yet in that very same prayer, he teaches us to pray for bodily things too, like our daily bread and deliverance from all evils of the body and possessions. And so we pray the Lord's Prayer, according to Christ's command, trusting in his promise. And in all our prayers, we conclude, Amen, Amen, with faith that yes, yes, it shall be so. In Jesus' name, Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.